Ladies and gentlemen, two men from opposite ends of the physical, cultural, and emotional spectrums. Flats and Shanks.
Hello, and welcome to episode 18 of our weekly podcast. My name is David Flatman.
I'm Tom Shanklin.
Mate, you're looking incredibly well, Shanks.
Why are you doing the intro?
All round great guy.
You planned this from the start, didn't you? You dick. I do the intros.
Let me have this one, alright?
Alright. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Dave.
There we go.
There we are.
Did you enjoy it?
I did, actually. You get a little bit of power, don't you?
Yeah, you do. There's a surge of masculinity. You're also sitting much higher than me at the moment, which feels weird.
I feel like I'm now controlling you.
It feels like that. Yeah.
Change. I feel like Parky.
Do you want to tell everyone... What episode is it, did you say?
Episode 18, mate.
Wow.
Yeah,
probably time to stop soon, isn't it?
Shall we go... Well, I'll tell you what, we'll do 500 there and stop.
Well, what we're doing is we're just creating another podcast to drop into the massive, enormous, never-ending bin of podcasts in the world that you can listen to if you want to.
Three or four rugby ones, but...
Yeah.
Different podcasts with different needs. Different drinks for different needs.
Where are we? Tell everyone where we are, Tommy. It's fun.
Yeah, we are in the playroom of Chateau Flatman. Frozen, Minions.
Twister, Barbie dolls houses. Fancy dress fun. All sorts of
And they're
puzzles.
Just your toys.
Oh, you. There's something adult. It's a very childish playroom because it's for kids, but there is a... There is a adult machine in the corner. There's a treadmill. Top of the range treadmill, yeah?
Yeah, but that just saves you going outside like this, walking your dogs when it's rainy. Time up to that.
Yeah, it is actually... We should take a picture of that. In fact, while I'm here, I'm actually going to take a quick picture that we might add to... just so you can see what we're talking about. So, you know, the old kind of story that fat people buy treadmills and exercise bikes and they just become storage for other things. That is exactly what my treadmill is. I bought a really, really good one because it had to be able to take 130 kilos plus at, I would say, 18 kilometres per hour.
It's for you, though, yeah?
That's my wife.
Yeah, yeah. I thought, yes.
Got a problem with that?
I've seen her for a while.
No, she's swallowed someone else. But it's not for her, it's for me, but it doesn't get used. It does not get used.
A bit like Maid Marian.
Because running's not cool. I don't care what any runners say. Running's not cool.
A bit like Maid Marian, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. You know, he knocks on the door.
Yeah.
And...
But when we go long distance running, I mean, we've all got heroes for long distance running, but they don't look cool. Like, no one ever won a marathon and looked great. Like Usain Bolt, Linford Christie,
Moses Kiptunui.
These guys look good. Like, they look good.
That's to be our terms for a sleep. Bit of Moses.
Bit of Moses, yeah. Go for a quick half an hour, Moses.
You know, Kiptunui, Kip.
Yeah. Greg Rutherford looks good, you know what I mean? I mean, he might be. Like ginger like you, but they can be nice people too, but he's got a nice physique. And those word games, do you remember we used to play those? Like I remember a mate of ours, Tomo, Dave Thompson, played 7 games for Saracen's first team, and that was it, legs fell off. But we used to watch football,
yeah,
and he would say things like did Jimmy anyone play for Chelsea? I think Chelsea striker, he's Dad went down for armed robbery, didn't he? In a passing comment, you'd be like, what? Which one? Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank. And then it would be really pathetic stuff. Like, remember Petrescu? Does someone Petrescu played for Chelsea? Yeah, we called him Pet Rescue. This is going nowhere, is it?
Nigel Owens used similar analogies. As I said before, he's very good at stand-up and takes a piss out of himself a fair bit.
Yeah.
And... He got me one day. You know when they're telling a story and they suck you in?
Sue me?
You know what I mean. Tractor beam got me.
Yeah. Separated.
And
yeah.
He was saying he's given up rugby. He said it was his last reffing game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He said the FA have approached him. And, you know, they've seen a talent in him and the way he communicates. And they want to use that and they want to train him up to be a football ref.
Oh.
And he said, so my... this is the end of my rugby and I am reffing next year. Will be my first reffing game for the FA and I'm reffing West Ham versus Aston Villa because I heard the strikers were bent and keen. I was gone. You had me.
Oh, that's,
you know, when someone speaks so genuine that you think, you think they're being serious.
Yeah, they pull you right in.
Yeah.
Ooh. Oh, well played. On that, might have mentioned I was working, gladly working in Newcastle instead of being at Ricky Gervais live in Bath with some mates. Spoke to said mates. I spoke to three of the four that went, and independently, I said, how was it? And one of them said, you missed absolutely nothing. It was rubbish. I barely laughed for the whole thing. No joke.
You said this last week.
Did I?
Yeah.
Right, this is when you realise you've already said stuff. Anyway, it gets better than that. Anyway, they all got arrested for getting naked and carrying weapons in Central Bath.
Oh, cool.
Just trying to make it a better story, really.
No.
Told you that already.
Yeah, Don't mind though, mate.
Happens, doesn't it? That's why we should stop doing podcasts next week.
We have to write down what we say, don't we?
We'll do one more.
Okay.
Or we should listen to our own podcast. That's what you should do. Do you listen to our podcast?
Only my bits. So, what have you been up to this week, boy?
Well, I went on a couple of days off, and then I went on a...
Every day's a day off, mate.
When you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. A couple of days off, and then
Can't BS a BSer.
No, you're right. I went shooting.
What?
I went shooting. That's what posh people do, mate.
You've certainly got the kit for it.
I've got the kit. I haven't got a gun, actually, but I've got all the tweed. I'm tweeded up.
Welcome to borrow one of mine, mate. Left or right?
Bosh. Wallop. And the... it was good. I'm not... I used to be really, really, really don't kill anything. But I genuinely felt like... I didn't care that I was missing out on days shootings. I only go once a year, max, twice a year, maybe, some years. But it was more that I eat so much meat, I just felt like a bit of a hypocrite. So I thought, I will try it. And I will go on a shoot if I guarantee that none of the birds will go to waste.
Yeah.
And they will all be eaten.
So you're shooting for a purpose.
Yeah, they all get eaten. So they all get taken. All these were getting picked up by a local restaurant that night, actually. Or two local restaurants were coming and picking up all these.
Flamingos?
Pheasants, partridge, swans. Couple of ostriches and a Labrador. I mean, it was difficult. He kept barking and scaring all the birds, so it was worth to keep him quiet, so he went. But it was really good. You shoot for a bit, to be honest, mate. You don't shoot for that long, and then you're straight back in the truck. I spend the whole day. Danny Grucock was there, and his brother Ben came, and we're both car nerds. Shooting's fun, and it's big guns and stuff, but it doesn't really bother me, all that stuff. I just want to get in all the trucks they've got, and tractors, and all the big bits of kit they've got, and drive them all off road. That's all I want to do.
When I was a student at Brunel University,
what did you study?
Economics.
Sports science.
Economics.
Shut up.
Sports science.
Sports science. Did you get a degree?
No, I didn't. I didn't finish it. Deferred. I had to defer because of rugby.
When are you going back, mate?
I haven't really worked that out yet. I'm hoping they just give me a degree. In
best
the
laid plans.
Say well done.
Honorary degree.
Yeah.
Richard Hill's got one, isn't he?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah.
But he did win a World Cup.
Dr. Shanklin, yeah. What did you win? Well done. Anyway.
And a couple of my mates went shooting and come back and they gave me two ducks.
Oh, yeah?
So I thought, oh, we'll have them. So one day I put the marigolds on and plucked them.
Yeah.
It takes forever, mine.
Yeah.
To pluck a duck. So I got this bare skin duck, no feathers on it, on my chopping board. I've got a big meat cleaver.
Yeah.
I just not a clue what to do. This is before like the internet was accessible on your phones and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I thought, right, I'll just chop its neck off first. So I like line the duck up like that, put the cleaver over his neck, close my eyes, went like that, looked down and missed and chopped half its beak off. I thought, oh my god, what am I doing? So I took him down to butchers in the end.
Yeah.
And they did it like in about 2 minutes.
Yeah. Well, now you can just go on YouTube and find out how to do it without even plucking. Don't even pluck them anymore.
No.
Just chip, chop, chop. It's not actually that easy, but it's pretty quick.
Probably burn the feathers off or something like that.
I mean, I just look at them now and they fall off.
Yeah.
Hang on a sec. Come on in. Take a break in the podcast. No, it's fine. Come on in. Are you off?
In a minute, shortly, yeah.
All right, brilliant.
We've done the parapet. That's not dry. Tomorrow morning, what sort of time?
Just having a chat about the swimming pool.
What day is it tomorrow?
Where's the swimming pool going?
It's not a swimming pool. Tomorrow morning, I tell you when it'd be good. About the same, is that alright? Just before 9? Is that okay? Brilliant. Thanks a lot. See you later.
Thanks, Dave. His name's Dave.
Don't come back yet, but. Oh, no, we're actually.
I wondered whose horses they were out the front. Now I know.
We're having
how do you know the Cowboys? Oh, they turned up on horses.
Decorating done just because we're selling our house. We're having a bit of stuff touched up. We've never actually painted our front door. Getting it painted, it's really nice for someone else.
Mm.
But we are.
Do you know what they say about when you're selling your house?
No.
Bake bread.
Oh yeah, I've got a little bread maker that's never ever been used.
Because when people come round, see your house, the smell of bread.
I was thinking about wet dog and kid poo. Won't that do it?
And blood on the sheets, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, three.
It smells a lot of cow shit around here, actually. Mm. It's very, very cowy.
But anyway, you're up in Newcastle.
Yeah, I went shooting and basically we got on a ruddy lash on a Thursday night, didn't really, had a few ruddy beers. And I thought, I was in Hereford, so BT Sport sort of your travel out. And I said, look, just stick me on a train from Hereford. There's no point in me coming back to Bath or Bristol and flying. So I didn't think that through, did I? And 5 hours on a cramped train to Newcastle, a bit hungover. But it was a genuinely enthralling match between Newcastle and Bath on Friday night. Loved it. We'll talk about that game in a minute. But then I had to be back here in Bath for Saturday morning for a family thing. So I had to drive home from Newcastle after the game. I say drive.
Where was your car?
Sit in the back and get driven.
Oh, okay, yeah. Still a long trek.
Hell of a trek. But I'm a pro, Tommy.
Yeah.
And I didn't have any coffee after 4 p.m.
Yeah.
And I took my little furry travel collar.
Yeah.
In my travel bag.
The ones you wear on aeroplanes and stuff like that?
Yeah, I even took a blanket.
Blankie.
Little blankie. Before we got out the gate at Kingston Park, I was shoes off, feet up in the back of the whip, collar on, blanket on, nighty nights, and I, no jokes, I woke up on pulling onto the drive of my house. I've never done that in my life.
You often say to me that, you often ask me the question, could you sleep right now?
And I
say no.
I do,
you could.
I could sleep now. I could sleep anytime.
Yeah.
Never used to be like that. I think it's because my wife thinks it's since we had kids and it's more tiring.
Hmm?
I think it's since I became clinically obese.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you had the snip.
No, I haven't had the snip. Have you had the snip?
No.
Would you?
No.
Why?
I've seen what's done to my mate. You know, it actually bruises it really severely.
For like a day though, 2 days?
No, maybe. Might do the manly thing.
Then you can just fire away without a problem.
I might do the manly thing and let her have it done. Do you know the story of the weekend for me?
No, I don't.
11:30 a.m. Saturday morning.
It's obviously morning. Why do people say a.m. in the morning?
Adam Jones. All right. Adam Jones gets a phone call.
Yeah.
To say that he's needed to look after the forwards for the Quins game because Graham Rowntree can't make it for some reason.
Yeah.
He's in Wales. It's his day off.
Yeah.
Shoots straight down the M4.
Yeah.
Turns up at the ground. Looking after the forwards, in charge of the forwards. Joe Marler pulls out during the warm-up, sits on the bench.
Bomb goes on the bench.
20 minutes into the game, he's on.
At loose head.
And they win.
Yeah.
Is my question for you. Do you play prop?
Just a bit.
Just a little.
Mate, as you were saying, I've got international caps on loose head and tight head.
Is my point.
Is that what you asked?
Yeah. Is it easier to go from the loose to the tight or tight to the loose? Without getting too technical,
it's probably easier to do what he did and go from tight to loose. I played loose as a rule. I was rubbish at tight head. People generally say loose head is easier. I would say I'm not bothered about everyone thinking their position's a tougher one. I'm not worried about all that. I don't think it is as easy as all that, but tight head felt properly alien to me whenever I played there.
Well, you've got two people pushing against your shoulders for a start, haven't you?
I never minded the load. It was just the fact that there was weight coming from two places. I found it difficult to think about what to do.
Okay, but fair play to him. So,
yeah,
any hats, tip them.
Very impressive. Yeah,
for that.
Very impressive.
So yeah, that was
your story of the weekend.
Mm.
Yeah, I like that. So Friday night was reasonably fascinating.
Mm.
Do you want to talk about it or not, or should we just keep talking about what we've
what's
life?
Well, on the show today.
Oh yeah, okay. You want to do a menu? Do you?
Yeah. We have got, we're obviously going to be talking about the new tackle interpretation, not the laws, because the laws have always been the same. It's just
same speed limits, more points.
That's a very good analogy.
Nick Mullins did that. I stole it.
He's good as well.
He is. He's the man.
So we're talking about all the incidences that have gone on. There's been loads this weekend as well.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about all of them, are we?
Not all of them. Not all of them. The main ones.
Yeah. All right.
We've got a British Lion, Welsh international, on the phone.
Generally good looking, formerly good looking guy.
Yeah, Michael Phillips.
Yeah.
We've taken a call from us. And obviously a lot of the questions that you guys have tweeted in, emailed in.
Yeah.
You can do that on Twitter,
yeah,
at Flats and Shanks, or an email, which is contact@flatsandshanks.com. And on, obviously on Facebook, just Flats and Shanks.
Do you use our Facebook page?
Only when I'm trolling. Only when I'm liking photos.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Flats and Shanks have liked Ibiza 2011.
Yeah, this
album.
Girl's holiday album, that girl's holiday album, this your friend's wife's holiday album. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. I would never do that, but that's cool.
Yeah, enjoy. So, we know you were up in Newcastle by Eggman. Someone actually tweeted and said, because I'm not very good at impressions or voices, but
no,
apparently my
not.
Arnie one was really good.
Someone did tweet that, yeah. It was like he was in the room, they said.
Yeah. I'm right here, kill me.
No, that was awful. Okay. The last week's was good.
What's the matter, Dylan? See how you get...
No, it's rubbish.
What's the matter, Dylan? See how you got you pushing too many pencils? If it bleeds, you can kill it. Yeah? All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Newcastle Bath.
It was brilliant, actually.
Mate, it was a good game.
Yeah, really good.
Really good game.
Yeah.
Bath
started so slowly. It's such a weird thing. And the first try that Gonyva scored, he basically, you know, they work in field for a couple of phases. So there's about a 25-meter short side. It's a big, a substantial short side. He just picks up, waltzes through the middle and scores. There is no one there. I mean, they get bet back to him before the line.
Is this when they've just been broken? They've been broken through the middle.
Not
picks
really.
Up the
semi-break, like a half break from Joe Hodgson. And it wasn't quick, wasn't terribly quick ball. It was just poor defensive concentration from Bath early in the game. And it's a weird thing because people talk about home advantage. It's difficult to difficult to discern what exactly that is. And people think of it in different ways. But I look at that and think, would that have happened in a big game at the Rec when you'd lost the last couple?
I think I generally believe like home advantage is quite a big thing. It's always nice playing at home, your home surroundings, your home pitch, you're comfortable. But I honestly believe you switch on, you turn up, and you give that extra 5-10% when you're at home.
Yeah.
It's a strange one because effectively you're still playing on a pitch which has the same dimensions and what have you. But after that Gonyva try, how on earth did Rocco,
oh my days,
De Gooney score in that corner? Oh. It was one of those tries like a couple of weeks ago. He just shouldn't have finished, but he did.
Yeah, there's when you think how strong Gonyva is, who got him got him in time as well. Like
Gonyva has been a great signing for Newcastle.
Yeah,
it's a great signing from Leicester because he's big. He's like the Claremont wingers used to be.
Nalanga,
yeah,
probably Nalanga.
Siviatu, just an extra
Civivartu.
Back row. That's the one.
Yeah,
an extra back row on the field.
I think Siviatu is a Citroen van.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, he's kind of got everything.
Yeah, he has. He was at fault though for George Ford's try.
It was really good bit of defence from Scotty Lawson actually. Scotty Lawson was. I did my best to take the piss because I commentated on that game. I did my best to take the piss out of Scotty a bit, and you shouldn't do that if you've got mates playing. But I don't care. I do it anyway because I have fun, and I know Scotty reasonably well, having played against him for years and also been on a couple of stag do's with him, and he's a real nice fella. And he was, as much as I did my best to take the mickey out of him, he was outstanding. I almost reckon he's playing the best rugby he's ever played.
Really?
Up there. He defended like an absolute demon. He was battering people. Great bit of defence, but Gonyva just lost his mind a bit.
If the ball hadn't shot out the back of that maul, Bath wouldn't have scored. But because it did, he flies off the line. You're trying to put pressure on the defender. He's gone for the intercept. You know, if he catches that, he's a hero.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's being carried off like Dead Poets Society. Like Will Carlin, the Grand Slam.
It's like Francois Pienaar told me once. He said, honestly, I was like, oh, you played in this, you went home, you missed a Sarri's game to play in a tribute game or something. And I was like, who's the tribute for? And he was like, to me, a tribute to me. I was like, really? Yeah. He goes, oh, they were getting me off. Francois, getting me off. And I expected him to laugh. No laugh.
No.
He meant it. No doubt it was true. But yeah, that was a bit of a brain fart from Gonyva. Rocco makes the crazy look.
See, he wasn't initially in the squad, was he? But he's come into the squad due to injury to the squad.
Yeah. But he defensively, if you run into him, he will he will knock you into next week. Like, he's aggressive. He's, I mean, let's just, I don't want to generalise too much, but he's Fijian, and there aren't many Fijian wingers that won't whack you if you run into them.
Anthony Watson, though, was setting up his two tries.
Yeah.
Class.
Rapid. Class.
So good. Like, yeah. Such quick feet. When he gets the ball, he's not even running at full pace when he gets the ball, but his lateral movement.
Yeah.
Able to, for him to get on the outside of defenders, just draws in the outside, yeah. draws in the wing or the outside centre, gets them to bite, throws a pass. He was looking very good.
Yeah.
And his hair was looking good as well.
Yeah, he looked great. Mm. But he is fabulous, isn't he? He's fabulous. Mm. But Rocco, ball in hand, is the man in the Premiership. But defensively, it's just so important, and you can't ignore it. Like, I watched Christian Wade long. I watched him. He got brushed off by Gonover. Yeah. And I watched Christian Wade live on Sunday, which we'll talk about in a second. He's just electric, and I love watching him. And I think his defence is better than people give him credit for. But it just, compare him to Jack Noel. That's what I'm saying.
Mm.
I mean, from what Jack Noel has said, Eddie Jones wants one electrically fast winger and one
mute,
one really, really, you know, sort of
aggressive,
hugely competent winger who does a lot of work and gets a lot of things right, and low error count, high work rate winger. That's what Jack Noel is for them. Johnny May's the flyer. I just wonder if Christian Wade might not get a shot at some point as that flyer.
What you have got, mate, at the moment is a lot of class wingers playing well. Good position to be in. When you look at Wales, not many wingers.
No,
like, putting their hand up. It was actually, I felt a bit sorry for Cuthbert the weekend, because he didn't have the greatest game against Glasgow. Glasgow again were brilliant, and Tommy Seymour, what a player he is.
He's gone on the lines, isn't he?
Has to.
Even though he's Scottish,
he was born in Nashville.
Was he?
Apparently so. I could be wrong, but
no, you said it now, mate. It's right.
I'm sure he's born in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
But yeah,
you watch Nashville? You ever watch that?
No.
Yeah. Well, the first couple of series are really good. It's gone to apps. Gone to the dogs now. It's rubbish.
But the commentary was in Welsh, and luckily I speak a little bit, so I could translate it. And the commentator said, it panned across to Cuthbert after he dropped the ball over the line, and he said, there he is, Alex Cuthbert, with his head in his hands. And then Gwyn Jones, who was the analyst, said, oh, he doesn't drop it. It didn't make me laugh.
Brutal.
But I also felt sorry for him. But yeah, so
I'd be honest, I'd rather have commentators taking the piss out of me a bit than I would, you know, feeling genuine pity. I don't know, maybe.
So a great win for Newcastle. It seemed to have turned a corner.
Really good. They just did so. Joe Hodgson played. So it's funny, you get, whenever you, as you will know, all the media work you do, Tommy, whenever you do media work, you get, basically, every time you compliment any team, the team they have beaten will have some fans who object to you complimenting the other team too much, or not complimenting their team enough, or something.
Yes.
Right? So whatever you say, Brian Moore told me this years ago, now he's particularly aggressive in his views, but I love that, and he said to me, whatever you say, there will be people that don't like it. So if you say, I like to drink tea in the mornings, there will be somebody that objects to that, because, do you know what? Some people don't get the access to cups of tea, and how do you think they feel reading that? You know, whatever it is. So there will be people that don't like it. I got one guy saying to me, he wasn't being aggressive at all actually on that, he was perfectly nice, but he said, how long can we ignore Joel Hodgson for? How much longer? I was like, what do you mean, how long can we ignore him? He's like, he's had about 8 good games. Like, he's a very good player, but he's had 7 or 8 good games, like, if that, this season. And, you know, he's very good, and he was very, very good on Friday night. And if an alien had landed at Kingston Park on Friday night and had to decide which of him and George Ford was the international fly half, you'd have said Joel Hodgson on Friday night. But, I mean, come on, he's had a handful of good games.
There was an alien there, though, was there?
No, Ugo was there.
Yeah.
Have you seen Ugo naked? Kind of alien to me. To be honest with you,
he's got a vision now. Northampton, Bristol.
Yeah, here's an interesting.
Mate, I again think Bristol. I know they haven't had the results all year, but they're certainly looking like a better team than they were 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I know they're playing Northampton, who are struggling a little bit to find a bit of form as well.
Yeah.
But I believe it's since Woodward. Clive Woodward's son has filled in for them at 15.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's not actually their son, Jason Woodward. He's a Kiwi who's come
over. He's actually Edward's son.
Oh, okay.
Remember Edward?
Yeah.
Edward Woodward, the equaliser. Remember him?
Nope.
Why did Edward Woodward have four D's in his name. If he hadn't, it'd have been Iwawuwu.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah, it's good.
Mate, think about it. Anyway, Jason's dad, Edward.
Hmm.
Edward's son, Jason. Yep, he's the best thing that's happened to Bristol this year, without question.
Hugely.
Really good player. Now,
one of the best finds.
Yes, yes.
Kicks as well. He's like, right, you're the best player, you kick a goal.
I think Robbo signed him, you know.
Did he?
I'm going to say that. I'm going to say Robbo signed him, and now they're getting loads of credit for signing him, but the man who signed him has been binned.
But they no longer look like, you know, the whipping boys of the Aviva Prem. They look like a quality outfit.
No, Worcester look like that at the moment.
Yeah, they do.
They're struggling. But Bristol, I heard an interesting thing from Bristol. Now, I have got absolutely nothing to substantiate this. I could probably find out in about 10 minutes, but I forgot. I've been doing loads of other stuff this morning, yeah?
Yeah.
It's Monday morning, very busy time for me, Tommy. Had to go and do a WOD, yeah? Workout of the day. And so Bristol, basically what happens is all the referees make the decisions they make, and then they review them in the following week, and they tell you which ones, which of the big decisions, whatever, were, on reflection, after analysis, incorrect.
Okay.
And it's something along the lines of Bristol have had 11 or 12 tries disallowed this season, 9 of which were actually tries.
Really?
Yeah. Right, and they had 3 disallowed at Northampton. I spoke to someone, I haven't seen them yet, I've only seen the extended highlights, so they don't put those bits in because you can't put every game live. So you basically see all the live rugby, the live bits, you know. So the deficit is, there's a chart, so basically how much have they been given that they shouldn't have been given, so how many things have they been awarded they shouldn't have been awarded on reflection, because it works that way too. They're massively behind on the chart, so their view is that they are, unofficially, this is their view, they might make it a formal at some point, I don't know, they are basically losing out in the decisions when compared with the big teams. So compare Bristol with Saracens.
Yes.
Saracens get way more decisions that they should get than Bristol gets. So Bristol get way more disallowed.
So subconsciously, refs are favouring the bigger teams because they believe they're better players.
That's the query.
What'd you call me?
I don't think, you're talking about refs. Why are you saying I don't think for 1 minute there is any ref that does it intentionally. And no.
Subconsciously.
Yeah, I don't know if they do it accidentally. So I don't know if this stuff is true or real because I haven't seen it substantiated. But I've read about it before, and it's quite interesting. It seems like the bottom team, like Bristol, are not getting the rub of the green in refereeing terms, but Bristol did a great job.
Do you know what was probably the most annoying thing for him at the weekend is, I think it was Woodward scored his try. Conversion, I think, went over. Receiving a kick now, thinking about exit routes.
Will Cliff, charged down.
Yeah.
By JJ Hamrahan.
Just kills him straight away.
Savage.
Robbie, Lily, Garden. John Thomas, the defensive coach, must just be pulling his hair out with that.
Yeah.
Such a soft try to give him. When you've taken the lead, the first thing you do is just secure the ball. You know, if you're not under pressure, you kick. If you're under pressure, you 2 or 3 rucks, and then you split the field either side possibly, or you keep it to the corner and you box kick.
Yeah.
But they just let Hanrahan in. I tell you another thing.
Will Cliff's been really good this season as well. That's horrible for him, yeah.
Good singer as well. That's Wycliffe. We said at the start of the season, probably the biggest signing that most impact was Pickermore's, and again,
oh my days,
scored a try and created one for Tom Wood. Do you see it?
It's the balance, mate. It's not just being big and strong, he's loads of big strong blokes.
Yeah,
it's the balance,
it's the skill. But he's just a hard man to pick because he doesn't run through people. He sort of stops all the time, he twists, he turns. He's very thick set, isn't he? So just manages to wriggle out of tackles all the time. He's not like a Faletau, you know, in the wide channels, sidestepping. He's really good close quarter.
Heavy traffic, mate.
And that try for Tom Wood.
I mean, it's a good pickup with good explosive power, really good balance, footwork, determination to stay on his feet, low centre of gravity, and then a beautiful offload. And by the way, Tom Wood looked properly quick when he got that, didn't he? Flew onto that. The Wild Axe Man of the Midlands.
Is he a big bloke, Tom Wood?
Yes.
He is, he?
Bigger than he looks. I always think he looks quite skinny on telly.
Yeah.
He's a big bloke, yeah. He's very, very strong. And he's a mega, mega trainer.
Yeah.
So he's very, very
strong?
Fit. Not strong as you and me, but very strong.
Okay, yeah.
I remember going up to Saints and I did an interview with Alex and Ethan Waller, the two props, two brothers. Very nice lads. And they were a bit late. They said, we're going to be a bit late because they're in the gym. I said, what are they doing in the gym? Are they doing squats? I said, oh, can I have a look? And they wouldn't let me. I couldn't get in. The door was locked, and I didn't know the combination kind of thing, or whatever it was. I couldn't get in there. And when I came out, I said to the media guy, you just got to find out what weights they're squatting, because I'm into that stuff. And he said, they're doing 270 on the squat. And I was like, that is punchy for like young pros.
Good?
Like, yeah, that's a lot. I was like, that is punchy. I then found out they don't go all the way down. They're not asked to grasp, mate.
Do they go below 90?
I don't know, Tom. I didn't want to ask, mate.
Yeah.
Because then you become that guy that asks to go all the way down, and they have to say no, and then it's, you know.
I know what you mean.
So orcs. Whatever Alex Waller's doing, he should keep doing it because he's fit all the time.
It's like the guys who do a bench, but they don't go all the way down. Because it hurts their shoulder, they say.
Oh, Tommy.
Or they put a little bit of block of wood there.
Oh, Tommy.
Yeah.
It's not a bench session if I haven't got a little red mark across the front of my chest at the end of it.
Mm.
You know, I want it bouncing off that big...
Or chins. I hate it when people do bent arm chins.
Yeah, but the thing is, I can't do proper chins because I've had elbow reconstructions and shoulder recons.
130.
I can pull the weight 32. Up. 135. I can pull the weight up all right, not as often, not as easily as you, but I can't hang from a bar. So I can't stand hang because my elbows and shoulders just can't hang. They're knackered.
Pop out, won't they? Like a chicken leg or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Rugger, Will Cliff, brutal for him. But I must say, what I do want to do is, a month or so ago, I was one of the ones saying, I don't know how you fix Bristol. I don't know where they go from here. They're not good enough in defence. They're not good enough in attack. Dwayne Peel has done really good stuff with that attack. I think Jason Woodward has helped a lot, but it's all very well having him. You've got to find ways to use him. So Dwayne Peel is doing well. And
if you've got a player like that, he has to have the ball in hand as much as possible. And that's not just returning kicks. It's in open play.
In good positions.
It's in phase play.
Yeah.
So they have to play a wider game. And at the moment, they are playing that. I'm not sure who their 13 was at the weekend. Do you know?
Threaten Palermo.
Yeah, looked really good. Really good pass.
He is a G unit, mate. He's massive.
But his passing game is good as well. So, he's not selfish. He's getting the ball into Woodward's hands. And what Woodward does is, because he is actually pretty fast, he manages to get on the outside of the 13, draws the winger in. The winger tries to tackle him, but he's got that ability to get the shoulders through the contact, get the ball out the side of the hand, feed Vandell or someone like that. That's invaluable.
Yeah, I wonder if Jason Woodward isn't a bit like James O'Connor in that...
yeah, could be.
So I remember playing for
England... He's a bit bigger though, I think.
Yeah, I remember playing for England A or whatever on the midweek team on tour in 2010 in Australia, and I can't remember what coach it was, but we're defence. It might have been Mike Ford actually.
It's the drift, that's what we call it.
The driftwood.
Yeah.
So we're midweekers, the dirt trackers, and we're at the drift, and we're playing against Australia A, and Mike Ford talking about this guy called James O'Connor, who apparently was super hot shit and he was the next big thing, and they were like, just get hold of him, whack him, he's little, he won't like it, up him kind of thing. Anyway, he scored a hat trick and got taken off after 50 minutes. He was not big, and he, like Nick Abendanant in a way, maybe even stronger, he ran into you and you think, I'm going to nail this lad, Benders. And Mearsy and I tackled James O'Connor together really hard, like quite hard, and we properly stopped him, but we were like, wow, that is a properly strong bloke.
Can I ask you something about Benders?
Yeah.
Is that what he's called?
Yeah, no, Bendy.
Bendy. Yeah. How was he on Don't Drop the Egg? So Don't Drop the Egg is like some sort of spoof.
It's his mate Ori that does it.
Okay, Don't Drop the Egg, some sort of spoof documentary about these
Rugger banter.
Yeah, about these rugby boys who part-time rugby.
Yeah,
And it's just following them around in their lives. It's a bit like The Office. And they're like, get up in the morning, shake, train, shake, lunch, shake.
Yeah,
gym, shake.
Yeah, bed. Cheeky Nando's, shake.
Yeah,
they're good lads.
But
yeah,
they're fascinated with Nick Abendanant.
Yeah, but Ori, the main guy in it.
Yeah,
he's Bendy's best mate from school, college.
It's worth a look. So if you type into YouTube, Chunk College,
They are very funny, actually.
Good. Yeah, it's good.
And but Ori, the main guy from Don't Drop the Egg, is I hope you won't mind me saying, is a terrible drunk.
Really?
So he's a stand-up comedian in real life.
Is he?
Yeah, very funny bloke. But he is a terrible drunk, and he really offends people. So he came to Bath a few times with Nick and was like offending people and whatever, but the lads don't really mind. But then Jimmy Scaisbrook, who played flanker at Bath for a while, who's a proper, like, proper Brummie, and is his girlfriend at the time, not with her anymore, was a proper Brummie, and they were like, they were hard, basically.
I'm considerably richer than you.
Yeah, and then Bendy's posh mate Ori started offending Skazer's missus.
Yeah.
About somehow. I don't know, then we did something not too bad. But anyway, one of Skazer's mates.
Molly.
Yeah, and another one of Skazer's Brummie mates laid him out in a nightclub in Bath. Like, bang, we're like, oh my God, no one's ever hit anyone in Bath.
Mm.
And Bendy was there. And this lad was like, sorry, Bendy, but he's being well out of order. I'd put him to sleep, mate. I'd put him to sleep. And Bendy was like, no, no, it's absolutely fair enough. Absolutely fair enough. He's an absolute tosser. Let's get him home.
Set the tone for Carl Ferns, then.
That's not, yeah, that's not how Bendy speaks. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
But I suppose the most controversial game of the lot has to be Farathund and Exeter.
Yeah, mega controversial.
Yeah, so Saracens, Exeter, 13 all, and a red card. Who was the red card for? The red card is for Richard
Barrington.
Gets red carded for a tackle on
Jeff Parlin. And after Barrett had swung a left in and knocked him out, Barrington.
Just before we crack into this, I was once, probably about a couple of years ago, I was in Tiger, and I think a girl recognised me a little bit and started chatting to me, and she said, what's your name? And I went, I don't know why, I just said, it's Jeff Parlin, right?
Yeah.
And that was it, and I'm going to chat for a bit. The next day I thought, I wonder if I should check his profile on Twitter. So I check his profile on Twitter, and she only got and followed him. Parlin gets properly laid out, doesn't he?
Oh yeah, it's horrible. Yeah, it's me.
Barrington gets a red card for it, which I think is harsh.
Yeah,
I personally don't think that was a red card offence. I think the red card should have been for Barrett, for his straight arm into Parlin's jaw.
Yeah.
I don't think that knocks out Parlin, but Barrington's coming in. It's instant. It's like half a second. He doesn't have time to react. You know, he's not going to know Jeff Parlin's going to all of a sudden.
Yeah, but the point is, if you're aiming, if you look at it from behind, end on from behind, he sinks from standing at full height. He sinks about 6 inches max to make that hit. If you're sinking to waist height, you're safe.
But some people don't tackle waist height. You know that some people. Not everyone tackles normally.
No, but that's the point. They're trying to bring the average height down. They're trying to force those guys. So, for example, I really couldn't tackle at that height the last few years of my career. I had to tackle hard up top, because if you imagine you tackling someone around the waist head on almost. Mm. It's like getting hit on top of your shoulder, effectively.
But then two people got knocked out the weekend for hip on a head.
I think
head.
It was three, actually.
James Haskell, another one.
Yeah. So aiming at the hip is a hard bit of bone as well. But I couldn't take the impact on top of my shoulders because they would have dislocated. So I effectively tackled with my chest and the front of my shoulders.
Do you think that there should be some onus on the player carrying the ball in? If Jeff Parlin, whatever he is, 8'4", is going to sink that low carrying the ball into contact, there is going to be some sort of collision with his head.
Yeah. I don't think you can put the onus on the ball. You don't want guys running in upright.
How do you know people are going to be running that low?
I think you sink low enough to account for it. I think that's the idea, like they used to in the old days.
Well, you might as well just make everyone's got a tackle below hip height.
Maybe they'll get there. Seriously, maybe it'll get there. And the offload will come back, and you can still.
It's funny, like, it'd be like Lomu rugby.
You watch a couple of guys I've watched defend really well recently. One of them is Max Lahief, and he makes a lot of dominant hits, and he makes almost all of them around waist height. So he hits people where they're soft, and they're in situations where normally you would hit high. So they're around the fringes where normally you'd hit high, partly because it stops the offload, but also because around the fringes of the breakdown, you've got the bigger units generally. They're more tired and they're less fit, you know, as than the other guys relatively. So it takes more energy to sink low and drive up than it does to just stand your ground and
No, you are right, but all people have different tackle techniques.
Absolutely, but I think they're trying to bring the average height down. So
do you know what I thought about the weekend?
By the way, I thought double red for that.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought red for Barrett, nothing for Barrington.
But the question now is, has there been foul play? Accidental's got nothing to do with it anymore.
Yes, there was.
Yes. So at what point did he make contact? Shoulder straight to face. Okay, not good. How much force was there? Well, enough force to stop a human being. A big human being, so quite a lot of force. And was he in control? No, or he wouldn't have done it.
Yeah, but
red.
for me, Barrington, if I'm coming around the corner, I'm running as low as that, then there's no way I'm going to be able to get underneath you.
No, head on, side on. It's easy because you can hit the rib cage. Yeah, you got all easy. That. Head on, you got to sink and take it. That's what I think. Mm. We can't bash people head on.
Well, I disagree. I don't think Barrington was a red card whatsoever. I think Barrett was a red card.
No, I. What I'm saying is, according to how the laws are now being interpreted.
Yes. No, but I think he interpreted it wrong, the ref.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah, okay. Why do you think Barrington's not...
Because Barrington's coming in as a second tackler. Barrett makes a first tackle, hits him high, around the jaw.
Yeah.
Barrington's come to finish off the tackle. So he's not physically making the tackle. He's a secondary defender coming in. So you're not always going to be as low as the first defender.
But doesn't that give licence to second tacklers to come in and do what they want then?
Well, Barrett could have dropped him straight away. He could have gone on the ball. So you got split second. He had a split second. Barrett didn't have a split second to react. Barrett went high. He saw him come around the corner.
But you know, remember when Dylan Hartley swung that arm in against Sean O'Brien the other week?
Yeah.
That counts as out of control because he was trying to basically swing his arm into his back. Yeah. Okay. Sean O'Brien dips suddenly because of the tackle from someone else. And because he's out of control, he can't adjust that. And the movement he has begun is going to complete regardless of where it lands. That's what Barrington's done. So he's unable to adjust. So he has to go.
I don't think Barrington's arm is that high. I think he's
no, it's his shoulder. It's his shoulder in the face. So I know exactly what you're saying, but I think if you want to have an arm wrestle about it, I'll kick you in the nuts. All right.
Have you seen the film Concussion?
No, not yet. Will Smith.
Please watch it, right? Because I think it could be relevant to rugby these days. So Concussion is a film about American footballers who play for a number of years, but they're not told about the effects of all these concussions they're getting and how it affects the brain and stuff. So they start going a little bit crazy and they start committing suicide and stuff like that. And Will Smith's I hope I don't spoil this plot for anyone, but Will Smith ends up taking on the NFL. And it's a long standing battle, but he ends up winning, and a load of players take out
lawsuits
against the NFL and get paid because they weren't known about the effects. Now, is this IRB, whatever, trying to watch their backs and look after their backs because
100%
because they don't have any lawsuits against them? But
100%
I know for a fact there's players now from a few years ago looking to seek legal advice because they weren't told about the effects of concussion back 10, 15 years ago.
Someone said something to me recently, it might have been on Twitter actually, and you get a load of knobs message you on Twitter, you also get loads of really cool people, and you get loads of really bright people. And I think someone really bright sent a message to me saying rugby, these law amendments and the governance of sort of the refereeing now is like someone has finally instructed high-end lawyers into sort of for World Rugby or whatever it is. World Rugby have finally written a big check for some proper lawyers, and it's almost like they're covering themselves now.
They are,
for the lawsuits they think might arise a decade from now, to show we did all we could.
Yeah, that's true, but you're talking now 10-15 years ago when players were playing.
Yeah,
and there might be some side effects that players are seeing now, which,
do you know what, mate, and this is kind of we can laugh about this because it's me but for a while now, for a couple of months,
you've wet the bed.
I've been wetting the bed again.
Yeah.
I've been seeing visions of you in my sleep. Now I've been struggling with like mental recall and stuff like that. So it doesn't affect me day to day hardly at all. But there are times, like when luckily I can just talk, as you can see now. There are times when I'm on TV.
You're trying to find a name or something.
Trying to find, not a name. They're generally all right. What I find is, this was my point. This was the point I was about to say, and it's gone. So I spoke, and luckily it comes back to me, but it goes. And it doesn't catch me out. I'm not nervous about it on TV. I'm still confident and having fun on the TV. But it has started to make me wonder. And, you know, my wife jokes about the only jobs you forget to do are the ones you can't be asked doing, like going to the charity shop and picking up eggs or whatever. You don't forget to go and order your new car or buy yourself some shoes.
Yeah.
That is fair. But the things I forget are adding up, I'm sure. I feel like they might be adding up and up and up. And I just wonder, and having spoken to... I think it was... Correct me if I'm wrong. It was One of these is wrong. It was either Jamie Roberts or Christian Day. I can't remember. But it's not about how many... I was only knocked out cold two or three times as a player. it's not about those times necessarily. It's about all the seemingly inconsequential whacks you took to the head. And geez, we would have taken loads. I'd have taken more than you in the front five, but you would have taken more high velocity hits because you're moving quicker. So all the times you hit the ground and catch knees, that sort of stuff. So I have been wondering lately, I must say I'm not worried, not because I think I know everything, but because there's not much I can do about it. But did you notice when you got here, I was chugging pints of water? I just been Googling it, and it says sometimes.
I thought you were finally learning how to neck a pint.
Yeah, that's what I'm training for. I've just been Googling
it. Open up the gullet.
And it's like, do you know what? If you're dehydrated, it can have an effect on your memory recall and stuff like
that. Do you know what I find myself doing?
I rule that out.
This is serious.
This is serious.
Yeah. Sometimes I pick my kids up from school. Sometimes I've got to go into the actual school, and I see a load of real complicated mass equations on the board, and I end up filling them in and stuff like that. Real complicated algebra equations, and I just fill them in as I go along. And my best mate's Ben Affleck.
You're a bellend.
I'm trying to offer
a really, you know, I'm trying to.
Mate, I was with you all the way. You're opening up to me then.
I'm trying to reveal my soul to you that I think I might have done my head in.
So what can we do then to fix this? I mean, refs will have different interpretations. That's the hardest thing, because some will.
Yeah, but 'twas ever thus, Tommy. 'Twas ever thus.
Yeah, they've had different interpretations, but most of that has been about the breakdown, and it's been about penalty to a side or not giving a penalty to a side. Now we're talking about yellow and red cards, which is a lot more serious, because you're down to 14, 13 men. So,
well, do you know?
No.
Do you know?
No.
Because it's not our game. We can talk about football and be as aggressive as we want.
I like the Sam Allardyce chats. They're my favourite.
They're my favourite.
Yeah. What did he start off again?
What, when he invented when he invented fitness?
Yeah, that's right. He invented fitness.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a pork chop. But you know, we look at it and say all the whinging to the ref, the diving, say just faking injuries, right?
That will come into the game.
Yeah, but
massively now.
But it's really easy to get out of the game, because every time. Use a big screen to find out if someone's dived. If they've dived, red card them.
I saw one at the weekend.
I haven't finished my point yet.
Sorry, boy.
This is a really good point, okay? Mm. Maybe. So red card them. And if you see it after the game, cite them and ban them for a week, right? So it's quite easy to stop it, because you just hammer them for it. So what World Rugby is saying is, perhaps what World Rugby is saying is, we need to do something real quick about people getting concussion, because... I spoke to someone the other day who works in... He's director of sport at a big public school. Not Danny Grucock, someone else. And he said that across all the sports, they average one kid a week with concussion in different sports. One male, one female, sorry. So two kids a week.
What age is...
School age.
Okay.
So this is at school. Kids are getting concussed all the time.
Were you ever concussed at school?
No.
No.
I'm sure I was knocked out, but it was never called concussion. It was just dig in. So what I mean is it's... World Rugby are thinking, we have to do something now. And do you know what? The easiest way to get the average height of tackles down is to start yellow and red carding people for not doing it. Just like we want to get diving out of football, they want to get headshots out of rugby.
It's also to coach the kids, you know, now that are 7, 8, 9, 10, how to correctly tackle. And, you know, gone are the days where you can try and seal off the ball, tackle high, tackle around the rib cage.
Yeah.
It's huge, because some players have got absolutely terrible technique.
Yeah,
one for Lee Halfpenny.
Yeah,
like side tackle, fine, but head on, he's got himself in so many pickles all the time, because he gets his body position wrong. He's the bravest bloke you'll ever see, but he gets it wrong all the time.
He's not as brave as Matt Perry, second bravest bloke ever.
Fine, a top 14 game, and he goes up for the ball. I think it's a genuine challenge. Two people are up in the air, goes for the ball, collects it, lands. The ball is then knocked on by a Toulon foot, and the referee blows up because of the contact that was made in the air. And you can then see Halfpenny just milking it a little bit, when most players would just get straight back on their feet and carry on.
Yeah.
But the point was, the challenge was a completely legal challenge, but didn't see anything wrong with it whatsoever.
Yeah.
So actually, we'll try and post that on our...
Our
webpage. Yeah,
it's your job for the month.
Yeah, I'll write it down.
So some other stuff happened. That's the Saracens game. Fascinating, fascinating draw. They did incredibly well. Their defence was amazing against Exeter Chiefs. And I tell you what, Alex Lazowski at 10, he's the new Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah,
because he batters people. He bashed Waldrum in the hit on his own line. Then he bashed Sam Hill, who's mega strong, like cow strong. bashed him in the second half. He is a tough, tough kid. I like him. I like him a lot. Then I was at Wasps against Leicester. First game without Cockers.
Ooh, I like that game.
For Leicester. And first half, mate, we thought you were going to see Leicester fly out the blocks full of emotion for their old boss and that sort of stuff. They were flat as pancakes, mate. They got shredded. Mm. Wasps were unbelievable.
The pace and tempo they play and the skills they have.
Christian Wade, joke. Elliot Daly, joke. Jimmy Gopeth was amazing in the first half. Dan Robson, for me, could well find himself on the bench for the Six Nations behind Ben Youngs. I think he's been that good.
Yeah.
But shining above all of them, Tommy, was Thomas Young, Di's mm-hmm. boy, Welsh lad. He's not that big, but he is that strong. He must get it from his mutant dad.
He's thick set, is what he is.
Yeah, he is. I mean, I feel like I'm saying everyone's brilliant. No, I said Anthony Watson's brilliant because he is. Thomas Young is, shall I just call him Tom?
Yeah.
Tom Young is a mega, mega, mega rugby player. And I mentioned a couple of the Wasp boys on the sideline at the end of the game. I said, what do you make of Tom Young? He's pretty good, isn't he? And they both looked at me and said, mate, he is a machine. He's a machine.
See, I remember him. He used to be ball boy at Cardiff Blues.
Did he?
Him and his brothers. He's got three brothers, I think.
Yeah.
And I still see him as that little boy there, giggling away, running to get the ball.
Yeah.
You know, like during a game, I'd tell him a little joke or something like that.
Did you?
Be looking for the ball. Be like, boys, boys. And they were probably like 12, 13.
Yeah.
So say you got a message from China and pull your mouth apart and stuff like that. And
I'll do it. Hang on.
Go on.
Got an acid vagina.
Got a massive what, mate? but
during games, you do that?
Yeah. It'd have to be. We'd be playing against someone like Connaught or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Back in the day when they weren't the greatest.
Yeah.
Or the Gwent Dragons.
Remember when we were playing for Sarries years ago, both single, and there was like a girl who's a photographer or something on the sideline, or two photographers or something, and they were like our sort of age. I remember being in a game with you and I was like, isn't that a photographer? And you're like, yeah, Phil. I know. Ooh, lovely.
But yeah, he is playing unbelievably well, isn't he? Well, he's got pace as well.
Yeah, he's quick.
Yep. Good
he's
carrier.
Got hands, yeah. Composed in space, like he's really strong.
I think what he does, he gets his shoulders through the contact and then he's on the floor on his own, but he gets back up really quickly, carries on, makes another 4 or 5 yards, but comfortable ball in hand as well.
Yeah. Really good.
Christian Wade, first try.
Yeah.
Did you see him?
Yeah.
How cool he was after chewing gum.
Do you know what, mate? Some people have talked about the health risks of chewing gum. Alright? I tell you what, Darren Garforth wants to rip the cheek off my face, alright? That's a health risk. Okay. Peter Cloese did his best to stub out my head like a cigarette butt. That is a health risk.
Hopawate. Yeah, he used to try and put things. Well, he got fined.
Fingers up bums.
Yeah.
But were you at you were still at Sarries and we played Hopawate Touch. Remember John Hopawate? John Hopawate, for the listeners who don't know, is a rugby league player in Australia who got banned.
He would make tackles and put his fingers up play
up lads' bums.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like properly, but he'd properly shove them up there. Like, yeah. Really bizarre. Right. And evidently he was hard as nails, so no one would chin him for it. Whatever, so it was like a bit weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, after we got done, we played a couple of games of Hopawate Touch at Sarries. So to touch, you didn't have to touch him. To touch him, you had to let him go past and try and stick your thumb. I mean, outside the shorts. I mean, we weren't.
I would have liked that.
Yeah, just your cup of tea, that, wouldn't it?
Ah, a bit of team bonding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Team morale.
Remember saying to Johnny Wilkinson, I'll tell you what we should do for a warm up in our England session, like Hopawate Touch. He's like, yeah, we've been doing that at Newcastle. I was like, have you? Yeah, so have we. Everyone was doing it except you, mate. Anyway, he's mega. Tom Young is a mega player.
But
he's got to play for Wales, surely.
Yeah. I think he'd be involved in the squad because he covers 6 and 7.
You've got loads of them, though, mate.
I know. Well, you think you've got Warburton, Tipperick, you've got Faletau, you've got a guy called Dan Baker playing well at the Ospreys, yeah. and also Moriarty. Lydiot's out. But I really do think Thomas Young will be involved in the Six Nations squad. They are talking about him in Wales for sure. But Christian Wade, chewing gum, mate, so cool. So cool.
Oh, he moved
doesn't
on
wear
a
gum shield
Wade,
either.
Yeah. I love it, yeah. He suppose, yeah.
No, can't chew. One's got to give, hasn't it?
What, mouth guard? Yeah, I suppose it has, yeah. I mean, but he's not putting on a strut. He just walks like, you know, when you see a sprinter walk and you think you are way more athletic than me. He's like that. He walks like he just tear you to shreds, and he could.
Marlon Williams put something on Twitter over the weekend about Di Young and what a good job he's done at
Wasps
and how good he was at Cardiff Blues, and Nug all of a sudden got slated for saying that. Everyone's talking
Nugget
about
did.
Yeah, talking about the budget that Dye's got, and it's easy when you've got more money and stuff like that. Mm. And they've signed some big players. Mm. There's no doubt about that. Curtly Beale, probably been the biggest. But
he played about four games, to be fair.
Jimmy Gopeth wouldn't cost you mega, mega, mega bucks. Nord Eastman, nor would someone like Guy Thompson.
Elliot Daly, they've retained.
Jake
Joe Lawsbury, Matt Mullen.
Yeah.
Ashley Johnson. Cooper-Willy, dead right.
Yeah. So there's plenty of talent there which aren't...
Nathan Hughes. Where'd he get him from? We didn't know who Nathan Hughes was.
Yeah.
Did we?
No.
You know, Dan Robson, good signing from Gloucester.
Yeah.
Really good signing.
Yeah. So there's players there which aren't, you know, your typical marquee players on big dollar, top dollar.
Yeah. And anyway, go to France, mate. There are loads of clubs with bigger wage bills on that don't play the rugby they play.
Yeah.
You've got to be good at running things.
And my point is, he could be in line, I think, for next Welsh coach.
Jugri. I can't see past him, really. Mainly because he's 8 feet wide.
He is a massive bloke.
He's huge. But that game was... half time, you just thought Leicester are going to get pumped here. Could be the same again. I bet that's the same again second half, like if Leicester don't come out. And they came out properly offended. And it's when they're at their best. But I do think you watch them play with that much passion and physical aggression, that sort of stuff, and you think... that's fine, but that doesn't actually win you titles. What wins you titles is playing great rugby and scoring points and being hard to score against. And they properly fronted up. Mike Williams and Ellis Genge were... Ellis Genge, best game he's ever played. I've ever seen him play.
Really?
Oh, he was brilliant. Yeah, he's absolutely brilliant. But Tom Young, he'd be in your Premiership back row at the moment. He's that good, I reckon. And Rob Shaw's out. So Tom Young won't fill that gap. Rob's shoulder injury, but I think Mark Wilson... from Newcastle should be the guy they call in for that spot.
You say he should be, but do you think he will?
I do, actually, because I think Eddie Jones listens to our podcast and picks who we think should be picked a lot of the time. He told me that.
Okay.
He didn't actually tell me that.
Not in as many words.
In fact, when I met him for the first time, he didn't know who I was, but he did. I'm joking. He's got a telly.
Yeah. Where's he been?
He reads.
Living in a cave.
Yeah, he reads the papers, Tommy.
Yeah.
Some really good, thoroughly good rugger at the weekend. Unless you're a Worcester fan, then it was bad times. Gloucester were great. Johnny May super sharp. Matt Scott super sharp. So lovely stuff for Gloucester to get a bonus point win at home. Right, Tomos, I think it's time we spoke to somebody handsome, famous, and successful, don't you?
I'm right here, mate.
Tommy, let's call Philzy.
Now, how you doing, mate? All right?
Yeah, good, pal. Good.
Good.
Where are you, mate?
We're in the Trafford Centre, so we have to change some Christmas gifts. So,
what, you been
so in, I'm just chilling.
Been in Tottenham, have you?
No, Burton.
you and Stephen Jones, the only two I know that shop in Burton, Tottenham.
I'm trying to find Ben Sherman shirts somewhere, but not quite.
Does that mean you got some crappy Christmas presents?
Yeah, no, Mrs. is not happy with her shoes she had, so I'm going to change her.
Yeah.
So it's just living the dream.
Well, I better do a quick intro for you, boy, because, I mean, not everyone will know your CV, will they? Not everyone will know your CV. So
no.
I'm going to have to tell them, all right? William Michael Phillips. So Mike's not even
this
his first
name. This is going to be embarrassing.
Mike's not even his first name.
William.
Age 34, sex, yes please, male, 94 caps for Wales.
Now, hang on a minute, does 94 caps not, I mean, I've only got 8, so I just wish I'd got to double figures, but do you not wish you'd got to 100, because you could have really been somebody, couldn't you, if you got to 100, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's, I'd have loved to have got there, but I guess when I was around the 90 mark, I thought, yeah, okay, maybe go for it. But, you know, things turned out that way, and that's just the way it was. So I'm proud to have 94. And,
I tell you, it is mega. Having 94 caps, is jokes aside, is mega, mega. But do you reckon if you were a coach that you would actually, if you had some good lads in the squad, you know, that were close to 100, you'd just get them to 100 for the sake of it? Do you not reckon you'd do that?
Yeah, I would have.
Yeah, me too, actually.
What, like they did for Nugget? Like they put a Barbars game on for Nugget? Martin Williams for his 100th cap?
Yeah, Gaff's had a bit of a... He's been in a few times, so...
Mate, I would have come out of retirement and done, like, a Romania, Japan, Georgia tour for you. 100%.
Well, we played... No, that's just the way it is, isn't it? You respect the decisions, and that's the way it goes, you know? I was there for many, many years, so I can't complain, you know? I've never really thought of it.
Hey, mate,
way, so.
Most caps come off of Wales. Not a bad thing, is it?
No, I mean, I'm really proud. I mean, it's great. I mean, I can't believe it's come and gone so quick. And yeah, I'd love to have 100 caps, you know, but...
Sorry, mate, that's just Flats putting a down on our call. don't worry about him. So... Yeah, so I was lucky enough to play with Filsy, we call him, at Cardiff Blues, and we had a great laugh, but we lost him then to the Ospreys. So he moved to the Ospreys, probably the biggest deal going on in Welsh rugby history, which is probably peanuts to what it is now. But at the Ospreys, you were part of the Fab Four or Fab Five, weren't you?
Yeah, we got labelled Fab Four, Fab Five.
Why is that, mate? Who was in it to start with?
Well, Henson was in it. And Shane Williams, Hockey, Lee Byrne, and myself. I guess we were just all pretty much the same characters. We enjoyed, you know, playing hard, working hard, but we also enjoyed having a beer after and, you know, enjoyed the social side of it as well.
I look at that and I think five properly good players, but also five lads who... either spend every day off they possibly can in Dubai, or spend an awful lot of money looking tanned. Would that be far from the mark?
No, I wasn't about that. I think Henson loved it, but I think we all tried to look our best. I think our policy was look good, play good. So
too right.
I don't know. It was. We did all right.
I tried to get in that group, mate, but they didn't like outsiders. They didn't like blues.
No, mate, no. They like sunbeds, yeah. Not moon beds. That's what they like.
Yeah, well, I try my hardest. But anyway, mate, you're up at Sale at the moment.
Yeah.
How's that for you? Coming from the back of France to Sale, how's the transition been? All right?
I'm enjoying it, yeah. It's been cool. I've been living in Hale, so it's a really nice part of the world. Lots of things to do, and... Yeah, loving it really. It's really nice, you know, top restaurants, nice things to do. So it's a shame the rugby's not going well at the minute, but hopefully, you know, with the new year now, we can turn things around.
Yeah, I mean, the rugby hasn't been, it's been all right. It hasn't been, you know, you haven't had a season like Wasps or Connacht last year, but, you know, how do you see it going now for the rest of the season at Sale?
I know we've lost the last 7 or 8 on the bounce, but I think things are picking up. I think we are having some real hard, you know, deep things and a lot of honesty coming out. And I think, you know, I think we will turn it around. Performances, you know, we've been losing are getting better slowly.
Yeah.
You know, and the players are all, you know, all driving on to succeed. And I'm sure, you know, we've got a tough fixture now again on the weekend, but, you know, I think there will be light at the end of the tunnel. I'm sure the boys will pull through.
Mike, you know when, I mean, you'll have been, every team you'll have played for will have had this every season, but Sale are one of the clubs being linked with some big names, like one of which is George Ford. And another rumour that I keep hearing is that Mike Ford might well end up as well via Toulon. And I don't know if you've heard that or not. And I certainly wouldn't expect you to know or tell us if you did, but... Does chat like that infiltrate the squad? I know that players are used to it, but is it something you sit and chat about in the changing rooms and read on your phones and hear about and discuss amongst the lads?
Yeah, I think some of the guys know these people in question, so a little bit of a chat here and there, but there's nothing, no deep conversations or anything. I think, like you say, players are used to it. It happens every season. Players come and go, and there's rumours, and players come in and leaving or whatever, so... It just goes over players' heads, I think, and
yeah,
you know, we just concentrate on what matters really.
I mean, you're 34 years old and you're in pretty good nick. Still got a pair of legs on you, pair of shoulders. what? How long do you think? How long are you gonna keep going for, mate? You enjoy? You're still enjoying it, I take it, at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, being a professional rugby player, I mean, it's class, isn't it? I mean, go training every day. I know it's hard and it has downfalls, but it's been a privileged position to be in, and it's been great. And I don't know. I mean, I only signed 1 year at Sale, so I don't know. Maybe the
Dragons.
See how the body feel.
The Dragons. Yeah, finish it off with the Dragons.
No.
All four regions then. Box ticked.
We'll see how the body feels and the mind feels. So it's hard work, you know. It's hard going when you get a bit older, isn't it? So
yeah.
We'll see.
On the kind of subject of age and all that, I when you said you're in the Trafford Centre shopping with your missus, I was that made my heart warm. You know, I was really happy to hear that because when I know I saw you a couple of weeks ago and I was wearing my waterproof Mac, which didn't go down very well as a look in the end, it turns out. But you tweeted me something like Columbo called and he wants his Mac back, and then. Yeah. What I didn't say was that when I saw you, I was pleased to see you, but I felt worried about you because there's a few greys coming through, mate, and I didn't want you to turn into the sort of the Pat Sanderson of Welsh rugby, where remember Pat Sanderson was like the best looking guy in the English game, and suddenly retired and he lost it and the looks went and now he's minging, he's absolutely hanging bloke now, and I look at you and think it's all downhill from there, mate, and I'm just glad you're not alone. So, are you conscious that it's going down there a little bit, mate?
I'm not. No, I'm not. I mean, he's just got like a George Clooney, and he's doing all right. if you have a look at my dad, he's still a very, very good looking guy. So I'm happy.
I've always thought that about your dad. Actually, fair enough.
Your brother's all right as well, to be honest. Trust me, it's when you start losing the hair. That's when the real change comes,
yeah.
Because all of a sudden people see you with hair, and then you know the next day it's all gone. But not everyone can be like me, like Benjamin Button, just getting better with age.
Yeah.
Philzy. Yeah. Six Nations is just around the corner now. I mean, I'm bored of trying to ask him to come to the hospitality I got in the locker room. Oh, mate, we're desperate for him to come along, but I just can't get that chopper to pick him up and take him down to Cardiff. But Wales' chances, mate, in the Six Nations, you can't count them out, yet, can you?
It's a big loss already. I think, certainly the start, reminiscing Toby Farfel's got injured again.
Yeah.
That's a big loss. I think they got Italy first up. That's going to be a tough fixture away from home. And if they can get through that, which I'm sure they will, then I think it's England. So
yeah,
in Cardiff. So who knows, really? They've got the players to beat England. But I think they'll have to improve on what they showed in the autumn because England are on fire at the minute. So it's you say it every year, don't you? It's about momentum and getting those early wins and.
Yeah,
you know, you've grown as a team. When you get those early wins, you kind of momentum rolls over to the next game, and you sort of grow another arm, another leg, and before you know it, you're playing for a Grand Slam decider. So, it's getting those early wins on the board for Wales, really.
Yeah, I suppose the big thing is that the two toughest teams at the moment, Ireland and England, Wales, have got at home. But what do you think of the changes that sort of Howley's made, and the fact that he's bought Wes Whalen, Scott Williams in to send his playing alongside John Davis and Tipperick's featuring more. I think this is like a change that Wales needed because they can play. I think they can play a little bit different with Scott Williams and Tipperick involved in the team in the starting 15.
Yeah, I think Tipperick has to play. I think he's one of the most talented players we've got in Wales. Him and like Sir Toby and Liam Williams.
Yeah,
these are players that are game breakers, and you've got to have them on the international field. I mean, his defences are so good. Yeah, you can have your steady Eddies in there as well, but the likes of them guys can really cut teams. And Scott Williams has done that a lot this season for the Scarlets. But I think Jamie Roberts will still have his role to play. Wales are lucky in that position. So. But yeah, certainly those players you mentioned, they got a massive job for Wales to cut teams, and there'd be a lot of pressure on those players to perform, but they have stars in the show. Really.
Yeah.
Right, Mike, we're out of time, but I'm going to ask you one more question that we like to ask every one of our guests on the show.
Yeah.
Put you on the spot a little bit, but take your time, there's no rush. Favourite book you've ever read? It could be anything. Favourite book you've ever read that you'd recommend to anyone else?
I read Andre Agassi's book. I'm not really a massive book fan, but some of the boys passed it over to me. I think it's called Open.
Yeah.
And that was pretty fascinating on his life. And, yeah, his sort of professional career and his lifestyle. He was obviously one of the biggest sports stars in the world and hanging out with all the high rollers. And I really enjoyed that book, so I'd have to say that one. But I'm not really I'm more of a movie man. Really, books aren't my thing.
But you found a good one. Thanks for that, mate. Appreciate it.
Right.
Thank you.
Good to talk.
Yeah. Thanks for staying this call, boy. Enjoy your shopping. And we'll hopefully...
Yeah, we'll do.
Hopefully see you in Wales again soon.
Yeah.
Cheers, mate.
All the best.
Love you.
All the best, Irving.
Bye.
Love you.
Ciao.
Flats, that was the legend, Mike Phillips.
It was.
I don't think we did him justice on the intro because he was the unofficial man of the series, Lions Tour 2009 against South Africa. It was incredible. Like, finished the game at centre.
Yeah.
Versatile player. But 94 caps for Wales. 9 tries, not 20 like me.
Less impact.
Value for money there. 5 caps, British and Irish Lions.
Yeah, well played.
Absolute legend. His Scarlets, the Blues, the Ospreys, Bayonne, Racing, and now at Sale Sharks. So he's had a brilliant, brilliant career. And
yeah.
Real funny bloke. You know, if you sat down having lunch and stuff, you want to be on that table, you know, with him because... He is a character.
Yeah, funny bloke.
He's just probably sat.
Rates himself, but in a nice way.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah, it's piss take stuff.
He doesn't mean it. Yeah.
No, yeah. No, he probably does, actually.
Okay, he definitely means it, yeah.
But yeah, it's probably quite difficult to talk when he's sat in the underwear section in Marks and Spencer's in the Old Trafford Centre. But
yeah.
There we are.
Anyway, hope you heard it all right. So we need to rattle through a couple of questions from our listeners because we've been talking for 7 hours now. And if we don't, I've got to go and pick up my kids from nursery. That's what I'm saying to you.
Yeah, so let's ask some questions. Right, mate, we're going to have to rattle through, as you said, quite a few questions.
Got one.
Okay, we've got to try and make them as brief as we can, all right, mate, because this will be like a 2-hour podcast.
Right, from Max Nimmo, having recently seen more pictures of so-called injured rugby players coming back about 3 stones heavier and completely shredded, do you think performance enhancing drugs is prevalent in today's game? By the way, I don't mean Viagra in brackets Shanks and Fat Stripper in brackets Flats, because I'm totally cool with those. Right, Max, I don't think performance enhancing drugs are a major issue in English professional rugby union. I'm open to be proved wrong. I just don't know anyone that did it. I don't know that it's a thing. Players get tested a lot. The truth is, I don't know. If I had to put my 50 quid on it, it would be that it is just not a thing in Premiership rugby in England. What do you think, Tommy?
I don't think it's an issue in top flight sport, but I do think when you go down through the leagues, players aren't tested as much or as regularly, that there is more drug abuse the lower the leagues you go down.
Yeah.
In terms of the Pro 12, you'd have to take a huge, huge risk to do it. I'm not saying people don't do it, but it's a massive risk because every day... you have to let the drug testers know where you'll be.
Yeah, and I've spent time in a few nightclubs in Wales. I reckon, can I generalise now and offend half our audience?
You do anyway, mate, but I don't take notice.
I reckon there's, if it's going to be prevalent anywhere in the British Isles, it'll be in the Welsh Valleys. Do you disagree with that?
Not just the Welsh Valleys, mate. I can see Maidstone, Kent.
Maidstone, Folkestone, Medway towns there, and the Welsh Valleys. I reckon there's a few boys on the juice, big units around.
It's not just the Welsh Valleys, mate. It's all over the country. But
of course it is. I'm only playing, mate.
Right, we've got a question from Chris Brown here on Twitter. Is Jason Woodward the best buy of the season so far? If not, who is?
Yes,
we talked about him earlier.
Got a question from Craig Yandell, our former teammate, aka Pinhead, on email. Pin says, back in the day, everyone loved a bit of free stash and the classic rubbish boot fillers, i.e. stuff that never left the car once you got it. In the age of higher pay, is stash still regarded so highly as when you were both in your prime? Yes, boy, rugby players love freebies, if not as much as ever, more than ever.
Do you know what? I do love freebies, and I like Stash, but I only like Stash if it's like Adidas or Nike or Under Armour or something like that. I mean, when I first joined Cardiff Blues, we were sponsored by Fila. It was Terror kit.
Oh, that's Terror.
Terror. Some of the trainers are all right. You can wear them in a nice pair of jeans. But, it is...
Sneans.
It is Terror. Like, and now I got to pay for shoes and stuff like that. Before, you used to get them sponsored, but you're talking 10 years ago, and trainers have moved on. No one... You've got to have cool trainers now, haven't you? You can wear, like, you can wear jeans and go to the gym. Hybrids, I call them. But my best stash I've ever had...
Yeah, that's the second part of Pin's question, by the way, is what's the best and worst stash you've ever had?
Okay, the best stash I've had was... I don't know if I told you this, but I was selected for the Lions in 2005.
Well done, you.
Also 2009, but fortunately didn't make that tournament.
All right, mate, crack on.
I got selected, which is the main part, and I'd still tell everyone about it now. But we got given a personalised iPod... And
sweet,
had your name, and it had the Lion's crest on the back of it.
Sweet,
still got it. Don't know if it works. And also some golf balls with British and Irish Lions emblem on them, which I've got. I've got one left, so I only use that when there's no water around.
Yeah,
people, boys like it when I put it on the tee.
Of course they do.
And when the ball's on the green and they see it,
oops,
who's playing with the light? Oh, me, guilty. So that's probably the best stash I got.
Yeah, my best stash is a pair of Barber. Walking boots. Barber sort of sent me an email a couple of years ago and said, you were on telly a bit, do you want us to send you some stuff? So that'd be brilliant. And the guy, I ordered like a jacket. He's like, mate, don't just order a jacket, go nuts, order what you want. So I ordered I got some red chinos, which are super cool, still are, from them. But I ordered these walking boots, like big hiking boots, and he was like, you gonna wear those on telly? I said, technically no, but I am on telly and I will wear them. I just won't wear them on telly. I'll wear them to walk my dogs. And I wear them every day. I've worn them pretty much every day since.
That's probably quite a difficult question for you, because I've been working out and done a little spreadsheet about what you actually pay for at home, and it's not much. So you get a lot of stash.
I do. I pay for plenty. I pay for all the stupid bloody toys in this room that no one plays with.
Yes, surprisingly I've got a deal with Smith's Toy Shop or something like that. Mm. Host their end of season awards.
Wouldn't mind.
Got a good question here from Sam French on Twitter. It's not even a question, it's just a statement, but I liked it so much I'm reading it out. Christian Wade's stepping in the Wasp v Leicester, can it be put on Pornhub because it was filthy?
I like that.
It was amazing. He turns, you know, he just twists it out. It was incredible. Bit of skill and gets away.
We got a question here from Joe Trevetti on email, who I'm told is by mutual friend, is a weird guy. The ongoing, he calls it a shitstorm, which is bad language, Joe, regarding concussions and head injuries. Basically, it's about the three props having HIAs last week against Exeter and ended up going to uncontested scrums and losing a player because they had three players off with concussion. So is it right that the team with three concussed lads loses a player? No, it's not on the face of it. But actually, that law is designed to stop people cheating and saying, oh, concussed again, because the ref can't take any risk and prove he's not.
No.
And saying concussed just to depower the scrums, which is what teams used to do to get them to go uncontested.
I'm actually surprised in rugby that there's not more uncontested scrums, because especially if a team's being dominated in the scrum, you know, why not fake an injury, a prop injury, and
that's why they put two props on the bench.
Yeah, but still, you know, two props could easily injure two props like that. So I'm saying it's a good thing that teams actually go into games and they don't take.
Well,
you've got to
injure three props now. That's the point, because you've got injured two, you still got two left. The other side of it, and they've got to be able to play both sides, of course. The other side, but if you go uncontested scrums now, you lose a player. See, I think that's right. So that's why they don't do it, because you lose a player. But anyway, yes, Joe, there's a bit of a rub there. I think it's to stop people cheating, but now and again it can bite you right on the bottom.
Got a question from Pete on Twitter. I like his little profile shot. It's a pint of Guinness because he's a bloody
lad. Because he's a bloody lad.
Shalad. He's heard. Did you hear that the rugby pod boys have offered you out?
No.
No. I'm up for it though. Well, when I say up for it, I'm up for watching you.
Offered us out what?
Fight.
We're having a fight?
Don't know.
Oh God, have I got to fight Jim Hamilton?
Yeah.
That'd be hard.
That'd be right, mate.
It wouldn't, mate. He's from Coventry.
Do your old school stuff, you know, get him on the floor.
Get him on the floor. Pound,
get him in the choker.
No, I think Jim's too nice. I don't know how they've offered us out.
No,
but you could beat Goody in a fight, couldn't you? Goody's quite hard, mate. He is.
Not against karate. I told you that.
That's true, actually.
I've been washing cars.
Not against the Valley Albino.
Sanding floors, painting houses.
Yeah, not against the Valley Albino. He might struggle. Have you got any more for us, Tom? Or should we leave it there? Because I've got to go and pick up my kids. Unless you want to do one more, it's completely up to you. But I feel like our listeners are probably close to pulling their eyeballs out at the moment.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
Right. I've had a lovely time in my playroom, have you?
Yes, I've loved it, mate. And
sorry about the interruption from our decorator. He's a lovely bloke.
Thanks for a little bit of cake as well you gave me. You're still on the no added sugar diet, I can see. I can actually start to see your cheekbones, mate, so it's working.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm impressed.
Well done, mate.
Yeah.
I'm down to 133, so things are going pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Hey, see you next week, guys.
Ciao.
Ta-da.